Welcome in to Beyond Mechanics, joined in by Jim Greco, back to finish up our talk about umpires. What's happening, Jim?
What's going on, man?
Same old stuff, different day, man. Hey, we giving these umpires hell. I hope they're not taking it personally, man.
Nah, I haven't been blown up on the emails or text messages yet. And I don't know, maybe the word hasn't fully gotten out to everybody to listen to it or whatever. But plus, I'm sure parents are really the ones mostly listen to it anyways. But yeah, man, I mean, again, it's never personal. It's something we want to address. You know what I mean? We want better umpires. We want more umpires. We want more training for umpires. We want to hold them accountable, just like us coaches need to be held accountable for doing our jobs. You know what I mean? Like, everyone needs accountability. Everyone needs accountability here. Just like, you know, we talked about that last weekend. Parents could do a better job of the way they react to things at games and stuff like that. Because realistically, when you're at a youth game, you know, this ain't it's not a major league game. Like, I've been to major league game yelling at the umpire and stuff too, because I realized, like, he knows that's going to happen. He's got 40, 50,000 fans that are just going to be drunk, you know, or whatever, yelling obscenities and all that kind of stuff to just screw with the umpire. But that guy, he don't care about none of that, you know. But the youth guy, the guy that's there and there's 10, 15, 20 parents there watching the game, you know, that guy hearing a bunch of noise, yeah, it gets to them. They hear that stuff and it bothers them. And some of them have a lot of pride and feel they are really good at what they do and they're doing their best. And they hear, you know, parents be right behind home plate critiquing every single thing. And here's the funny thing. I don't think we talked about this. Parents got GoPros hanging on the back of the fences. Like, you want to talk about being held accountable. These parents are holding umpires accountable like crazy right now. I mean, you look at the back of any fence right now, and there's 5 GoPros, there's iPhones, there's all kinds of stuff connected, iPads. Everyone's got their stuff connected to the back of the fence, and they're judging the shit out of every single call that an umpire makes. And I think that's the tough thing, is that where we've gone with electronics and all that kind of stuff and technology over the course of time in baseball, just even, you know, we're talking metrics and all that stuff that can be measured now that you used to not be able to do. Well, now if an umpire makes a bad call or a bad decision or whatever, it's right there on video and everyone's putting it on Facebook, Instagram, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, I think a lot of umpires are getting really intimidated from that stuff because they know, first of all, they know they're going to make a mistake, because every umpire does. No one's perfect. If I went back there and got behind the dish, I know how good I am as an umpire, but there's going to be some questionable balls and strikes probably. And again, that's just part of the job. Like, you're trying your best. You're trying to call it consistently. And I think, you know, over the course of time, people see that. They see if you're consistent. They see, okay, cool. But all it takes is really one off the wall call. And before you know it, everyone's booing. Everyone's talking shit. The coaches are snapping on you, you know, especially if it really affected an inning or an at bat or whatever it might be. And you know, it's like the kids, you know, full count or whatever, and gets rung up on a high fastball where it would have been ball 4 and maybe would have loaded the bases. Instead, it's strike 3. He's in the dugout, ends the inning, and or we lost, you know, and we had our 4 hitter coming up with bases loaded if that would have been called ball 4. So we know, you know, the game changes a lot depending on some of these calls. And so I think you're seeing a lot of umpires kind of have a tough time wanting to get back there and just face all this criticism that is now available to be public to everybody. You know what I mean? But I think, you know, some of the biggest issues, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk about today, is just the strike zone. What happened to the strike zone and what everyone's perception is of the strike zone? I want to let you talk a little bit, because I'll just go forever on this, but I want to ask you, when was the first time you were taught what the strike zone was? Like, were you in Little League? Was it your dad? How old were you? And what were you told the strike zone was? How were you trained to know what the strike zone was and what you should be swinging at or whatever?
See, that's a good point. No one ever trained me about what the strike zone was. We were old school, man. If you see something that you can hit hard, let it fly. That's the strike zone for me. Like, I don't worry about what he calling, what he calling, blah, blah, blah. All I know is, can I hit this ball extremely hard? I'm swinging at it. If I can't, to me, that's a ball. You know? If yeah. I can't, because at the end of the day, the plate is up there for a reason. It gives people the fair opportunity to hit the ball hard. That size. They probably tried out bigger sizes. Say, oh, the hitter's at a disadvantage with this too big. They probably tried out smaller sizes, the pitcher. But that plate is pretty fair. And you stand up there, you should know what's a strike based off what you can hit hard. That's why they got the plate there. It's based off, it gives people a fair opportunity to hit the ball hard. But nobody ever sat down and said, hey, from the belt to the knees or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Time, Jim, when I hit a ball hard, you say, was that ball at your belt? I don't know. I don't know where it was, man. Okay, that one was a little lower in the strike zone, but I don't know if it was at my kneecap or my shin. I don't know where I made contact.
All you I seen it, and it looked good.
Looked good, period.
Yeah, so, I mean, for me, you know, I remember being in Little League playing for a coach, and, you know, in I think I was in majors, and I was at Sarah Little League. And I remember, like, the practice, the start out the practice. Like, today we're going to talk about hitting and what the strike zone was. And we had – and that coach told us, like, look, it's from your knees to your nipples. You know, that's what I remember. Knees to nipples.
Ooh, ooh.
That's what I remember being told. And obviously it can hit any part of the plate. If it catches the black, if it catches the black on the outside part of the plate, that's a strike if it's between the knees and nipples. Now, that's what I was taught initially. And so that's what I assumed the strike zone was supposed to be. And so when it came to hitting for me, I was looking for something to be in that strike zone. If it looked like it was outside of that, I didn't swing. And that's probably why over the course of my career, as I got older and older, I walked a lot. My on-base percentage was really high, most of like 500, 600 on-base percentage, most of my youth career. Just because I walked so much there, when I got older into my mid 20s and I was playing in leagues, there was 5 years in a row where I led the league in walks. I had like 30, 40 walks in a season, and, you know, with like 150 total at bats, you know, I mean, it was a ridiculous amount of walks, throwing the hits and the hit by pitches and stuff too. Cause I seemed to always get hit like 8 to 10 times a year too, or whatever. So it was like, you know, I think it definitely helped me think, oh, I'm not going to swing at that. And the more I even talked to you and stuff, I'm like, damn, there was a lot of times there was probably some pitches I should have swung at, you know, or whatever, that I know I could have hit, but I didn't because I thought it was a ball. And sometimes it gets called a strike, right? Because the umpire, his zone is different. And then now we get into different strike zones. And that's where it got confusing, because it was like, well, coach told me that it's got to be here. I assume that's just the rule. That's what everybody calls it. How hard is it to mess that up? Did it cross a knee? Was it under the nipples? And was it on around the plate? You know, and we know at the younger youth levels, like, you know, around the 10-year-old age, give or take a few years, you might go an extra ball off the corners because pitchers are struggling a little bit more. And some guys just stand there with a bat on their shoulders and they're not going to swing anyways, no matter where you put the ball. So to me, as an umpire, I think I said this last time, if I seen a kid standing on the very outside of the batter's box with a bat glued to his shoulders and his knees are knocking together because he's scared, I'm calling everything a strike. I mean, if it's close, it's a strike, because I'm trying to teach you to swing the bat. And I even say something to the batter like, hey, bud, you might want to swing the bat here. Is there anything close? I'm calling it, you know, and I've seen them, you know, sometimes they peek back at you like, did he just say that to me? And then, yeah, you know, before you know it, they went and swung the ball, you know, swung at the ball. And it's like, cool, hopefully I maybe helped, you know what I mean, or whatever in that. But there's a lot of times the kids are just standing there looking for a walk. What I can't stand is the umpire that don't see that happening. And my pitcher's out there close enough, putting it close enough. And he, ball, ball, ball. Now bases are loaded with three guys, the 7, 8, 9 guys all should have been struck out. Right, because they were all standing there nervous as hell, didn't want to swing. Instead, they loaded the bases up. Now top of the order is coming around, and all those guys are swinging the stick. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of stuff like that that has gone on, you know, over the strike zone stuff that I wish umpires would pick these things up a little bit more and be kind of paying attention to. But, you know, back to the strike zone thing, I think what I don't understand is why it's not easily kind of just the same. You know, why is your strike zone different than mine? If you're calling a game and I'm calling a game, I would think no matter what the guy's throwing, how he throws, where the batter is in the batter's box, we should be calling the same pitches for the most part. Maybe we're off like 10% over the course of 100 pitches. You know, maybe we're off. You called one a ball, I called it a strike, but it was close. You know, I think there's going to be those instances. No one's usually hella complaining about a really close pitch. It's the ones that be bouncing in the other batter's box, bounces on the plate, you know, and you're, or the one that goes across the kid's head and the catcher frames it, pulls it down to the belt. And you're just kind of like, come on, man. And the umpire's like, ha! It's like, come on, man. It wasn't even a curveball. It was a freaking 46 mile an hour fastball that crossed my eyes and dropped in there behind the plate. You know, I don't understand why it's so inconsistent, why it's so different. What do you think about all that as far as the inconsistency of what the strike zone should be? Because there is a strike zone. It does exist. Whether you just go up and find a good ball to hit or I'm up there looking for it to be a strike, no matter what our perception is of it, there is a strike zone.
Yeah, there's a strike zone, man, but it's under subjectivity, man. It depends on who's saying, who's calling it. And my whole thought about it was umpires have strike zones. They have hot and cold zones, just like hitters have hot and cold zones, just like a pitcher has a hot and cold zone.
Yeah.
For some reason, why can a pitcher throw a strike to the arm side of the plate, but he can't throw it to the glove side of the plate? I don't know why, but that's the case with a lot of people. How come an umpire can call the ball in on a righty and away from a lefty, but he can't seem to get the other side of the plate?
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems simple. Should in theory be simple. But you know how it is, Jim. Some things ain't always as simple as they seem, man.
Yeah, yeah. So, hey, I'll bring up Greg Maddux because he was a guy who I think we all know got probably maybe to take advantage of the strike zone as a pitcher, probably more than a lot of pitchers did.
Right.
I used to watch every single Atlanta Braves game when I was a kid because that was always on TV. So I kind of became a Braves fan.
Yeah.
That was my National League team.
Me too.
And watching Greg Maddux pitch, because I was more of a finesse pitcher too. I wasn't blowing guys away, but I could, with the off-speed stuff, get you off balance, and then I could blow a fastball by you. And that's kind of like how I felt Maddux was. It was science to him that he would manipulate the strike zone with the way he could move his pitches and stuff like that. And then there was the framing that the catchers were able to do, where Javi Lopez was a guy who was really good at doing stuff. I think Maddux actually had Charlie O'Brien. If you remember that guy, I actually never really liked the guy because he couldn't hit or anything. And I was like, oh man, when he's in, you know, he ain't going to do anything today. But Maddux loved him as his catcher because he just set up really well, gave good presentation to the umpire. And I think to some extent, obviously, the catcher can manipulate the umpire, depending on what shoulder he's looking over, how tall is the umpire, how low does he get, how late does he set up. You know, sometimes if you're a late setup umpire that the ball's already on the way and you start going down, well, that's like when you're hitting, do you want your head to be moving? No, you don't, because you lose perception of the pitch, right? So I think sometimes, yeah, just a bit, and that's all it takes. And so Maddux, I know you faced him and you took him yard, but did you have an at bat against him where he got some calls on some pitches where after you've seen that ball hit the glove, you're kind of like, nah, that wasn't a strike. Did you ever get to see that from him as a player or anyone like that that you might have come across that just seemed to get that extra couple inches off the plate?
Yeah, well, he's definitely one. Their whole staff was like that.
Steve Avery, John Smoltz, Tom Glavine especially.
Especially Tom Glavine. Like, listen, man, hey, here's a quick story. So we play in Atlanta, and this is my second year, I believe. But we play in Atlanta. And Brad Wilkerson leading off the game. Greg Maddux, fastball outside corner. Look like a strike, umpire say ball. Fastball outside corner. Same spot, umpire, ball. I said, oh, we gonna get Greg today. He ain't calling that. Fastball outside corner, ball, 3-0 count.
Damn.
Fastball outside corner. That's where the umpires get caught up in that automatic 3-0 strike. Same pitch he threw the first three, fastball for the 3-0 pitch. Strike one. Greg Maddux just started training the umpire.
Yep.
Fastball again. Jim, by the sixth inning, Jim, Greg Maddux done picked up the plate and moved it way over here. I said, damn, we started off this game. He wasn't getting nothing. Now you better anticipate he gonna get about four or five because he trained the umpire with his control.
Yeah.
His control was so good and it's so close to the plate, Jim, that there's no way an umpire can say ball all day unless the catcher's glove is doing some of this. If the catcher's doing this all day, you can't keep saying ball because you're gonna get booed out the stadium.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So pitchers with excellent control, they can train an umpire. You just got to sit back there. As long as the catcher ain't moving, hey, dude, at some point, you're going to have to call this a strike.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely. And there's some at-bats against Greg Maddux where he throws some shit at my front hip, and I'm jumping out the way, umpire punching me out, and I'm like, man, ain't no way. And I go up in the clubhouse and look. Greg Maddux brought that thing back across the plate.
He caught it on you.
It might not have got the plate, but by the time it got to the catcher, it was in there.
It looked good.
It looked great. And that's what I'm talking about. He can train you. So Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, their whole staff is great at command. They had command. But the best, I'm going to tell you the best. A lot of people don't give this guy a lot of credit. The best command I ever saw, it might have been Greg Maddux, but the best I ever saw because I saw him regularly was Kirk Schilling. In spring training, man, Kurt Schilling not only had command,
he had the fastball.
He had stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he used to tie this string when he was throwing a bullpen, probably about a foot and a half off the floor. And if he threw one pitch above that string, he'd be cussing himself out. So I'd be like, Kurt, you mind if I stand in? He'd be like, go ahead. Hey, man, he used to throw fastballs, Jim, that looked like they going into the ground. Like, it's going to skip the catcher.
Yeah.
It would be right there. It's like, so he's the best I've seen with control. And he could, and he's also the one that taught me about keeping a journal on the umpires. That was his deal. Like, who behind the plate? So-and-so, he liked to call the low strike. He won't give you the insight. He knew all of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So,
yeah, definitely Greg Maddux, though, for sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's awesome you say that about Schilling because I know he was up for Hall of Fame and all that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of people that, you know, want to bring in all the politics or just who he is or what he believes in, all that stuff, where I'm just looking at the dude who used to pitch, and that guy was awfully dominating. And I love that you brought up the string thing because that's something I'm trying to add to my bullpens. I think I told you before, I seen that at, we were playing in a national championship in Florida. I think it's been about 6 years now. We were playing out there and we were at the Houston Astros training complex. That's where we were playing. And we were walking around the minor league complex area and we seen the bullpens, you know, like 10 mounds back to back next to each other and all that. And then there was these weights with these pipes coming up with this orange string that was attached to him. And it was just, you know, from batter's box to batter's box, right across home plate. And you could see it was like low kneecap height. And I wanna say it had two strings. I think there was actually like just enough for you to fit a baseball in between the two strings. And that was set up in their bullpens. Well, we end up seeing a guy going out there and working out, and no shit, he was trying to throw the baseball in between those two strings that were just sitting top shin, bottom kneecap. And that was that's what they were doing. And I was just like, I got to do this when I build some mounds, you know, someday or whatever. I got to do that because I know for me, especially being more of a control command pitcher, that I definitely had to hit my spots. I wanted to hit my, I wasn't going to be able to just throw, you know, right down the dick and blow it by some guys. Like, some guys can get away with that, especially early on in their careers, you know, in the youth levels. But at some point, you got to put the ball where it needs to be. And you got to, you know, hope also that your catcher's good enough to, with that presentation to the umpire, that you can, like you said with Greg Maddux, you can squeeze a couple extra inches off the plate. You can catch that one that's a little high and just flip the glove down and make that thing look like it was 6 inches lower. You know what I mean? You can get the one that's right at the top of the shin and pop it up right here and make it look, oh, it hit kneecap. You know what I mean? And I think that's another thing, is that really good catchers talk to umpires. They try to have a good relationship with them while they're behind the game. And then that's just where the manipulation starts to happen from there. And then you got some coaches that are into the manipulation too, that when it starts, when I first see the umpires roll up, hey, how's it going today, Tom? Oh, hey, oh, it's great, Jim. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, oh man, what a beautiful day for some baseball, right? Just the BS stuff that starts to go, and you start to try and get some of these guys on your side, you know, hey man, I got a guy today. He's got a real good curveball. Make sure you really sit and watch this guy or whatever. You're going to like it. You might want to check him out right now. You know what I mean? While he's warming up. Like, I see this finesse stuff happening all the time between the catcher, the coaches, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, guys are using, you know, pine tar and all that stuff on the baseballs. And, you know, there's all kinds of stuff going on in the game that people just don't know about for everyone trying to get advantages and stuff. I mean, and manipulating the strike zone is definitely something that, you know, a lot of people are trying to do. And again, like Maddux, how he could get his pitch to look like it was going to be a ball, but by the time it got to the catcher's glove, it looked like it was a strike. You know what I mean? Like, that makes your day as a hitter a lot harder. Like you said, that plate is meant to be the size it is for a reason, because anything outside of that plate basically makes it impossible to hit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you made that plate just a whole inch or two bigger all the way around, I mean, you're talking guys are going to be hitting 100. You know what I mean? If you're lucky. And then you want to talk about people complaining about the game being boring or anything like that. Well, shit. Everybody's striking out. You're going to have 20 strikeouts a game, you know, and stuff like that. But I think the biggest issue, though, is that we're having is, for the youth levels, at least, you know, obviously at the pro level, you got guys who are trained and experienced, and they can be manipulated a little bit here and there. And to some extent, you can still earn your strike zone, I think, in the pro levels when you show you can hit that spot multiple times and your catcher's not moving, like you said. But at the youth levels, it's not that way, man. Sometimes you have a catcher just sitting right there, right on the corner, pounding it. And it's just, nah, ball. I'm not going to call that today. I'm not going to call it. Or you go inside on the guy. And, you know, right now, pitchers are scared to go inside. It ain't like it used to be where guys wanted to go inside on you to show you, like, I will go inside on you. I'll get strike three on you on the inside corner, or I'll start first pitch inside on you to just let you know right off the bat I'm coming in on you. And then I go away the rest of the day on you, or whatever it might be. It doesn't happen a lot anymore. And so now you see hitters, their toes are on the chalk line, and they've now actually made the plate bigger, because that ball that is a ball off the outside corner, it's actually almost down the middle. They're getting barrel on those pitches, because now hitters have now manipulated the strike zone just based on the fear that pitchers have that I don't want to hit a guy, or I'm not good enough going inside, or I'm not, you know, I don't think my stuff is good enough to go inside on a guy. I think he's going to bang it, you know, or whatever. And so now you got this mind game going on, and then you get the umpire that you go and put one inside and actually fit it in there without hitting the guy. And he goes, ball, because it looks too close. It looks too close to the guy. He's backing up, like you just said, backed up out of there. It went right over the black and white part of the corner, and he's just, ball. Well, shit, once you just took the inside pitch away from me, and now I know, like, even if I try to go inside to just do it, you're going to call it a ball. And now I just got to go back and throw the ball away. Well, now you're just giving a huge advantage to the hitters, you know. And then sometimes it's just, like I said, the late setups, you know, standing too tall when they're looking at pitches. I mean, your view from the top down at a baseball is completely different than with your eyes behind the baseball. You know, when your eyes are behind the baseball or in front of the baseball, however you want to look at it, that you can see the left and right, up and down movement that the ball might be doing as it's approaching. And you can really get a better, you know, idea. But I think the other thing too is what happens when you got a 6'4" catcher behind the dish and you got a 5'8" umpire or a 5'10" umpire. And now you got to figure out where you're going to set up and how you're going to set up. There is a lot of little intricacies about the game that I don't think everyone always takes into effect. Why some umpires struggle in some games, but maybe sometimes they're pretty good, but sometimes seems like they're just not on, you know, or missing a lot of pitches. And sometimes it has to do with size. Sometimes it has to do with the manipulation that catchers are doing and things like that. But just the umpire setup and things like that. You know, the strike zone though, still to me at the end of the day, you know, sometimes you hear umpires say, oh, well, I got a tall strike zone. You know, and I know you were saying this before, you know, you're keeping a book on umpires because, you know, there were some that had the low strike zone. Some had a big strike zone. Some had a can of Coke you had to try and throw the ball into or whatever. And, you know, that's their strike zone and they weren't going to go outside of it. It's what they're comfortable with. It's what they know. Maybe they're very consistent with that strike zone, but they're not going to, you know, manipulate out of what they know and what they do or whatever. But I just always thought it was strange to me because in the rule book, there is a strike zone and it does tell you, you know, from the letters, you know, or whatever, pretty much to the knees or whatever, but man, the letters on the jerseys have changed where those are on the jerseys. I mean, for many years, I think you even know this, you could probably throw one across the belly button and it's a ball.
Yeah. That's true. It's a true story.
And you know, and it was, no, it's too high. Too high? Too high? You throw a ball across the belly button to Manny Machado, and that dude's putting it 475 in the left center. You know what I mean? Like, upper reserves. Like, you can't, I mean, first of all, to me, that should be a strike, especially when it's down the middle. If it's down the middle, belly high, like, that's got to be a strike, and you just lucky that ball didn't get hit out the park. You know what I mean? Like, when that gets called a ball on you, that's when it's like, oh, I mean, as a hitter, I'm like, I'm loving it because now that means all I got to do is lock in to basically anything belt high and lower. You know, I know you specifically are like, hey, I'm just looking for a good ball to hit. But me, in my mental mind state, I'm manipulating the strike zone. If I know I don't have to swing at nothing up here, oh man, I'm not even thinking about swinging at anything like that. You know what I mean? And there's a lot of guys who think like that, especially top of the order, leadoff men, two hitters, you know, guys like that, that are on base percentage kind of guys. I think you see a lot of people trying to figure that out. Like, what is a strike zone? What's he going to call? And knowing that, you know what I mean? It can really help you in your at bats, especially when you're an on base kind of guy. You know, I think you're trying to, if you're a 3-4 guy, it's a little, you're in a different position. You know what I mean? You're in a position to drive in runs. We're not really looking for you to walk. Like, yeah, we know you're going to walk, because guys aren't going to want to pitch to you,
right?
But we need you driving the runner in from second base. You know what I mean? We need you to hit 30 bombs, you know, or whatever. I don't need the leadoff guy to hit 30 bombs. If he does, he does. But I need my leadoff guy on base so my 3-4 hitters can do their job. So I need you finding the best ball that you can hit out of the park. You know what I mean? So I think that guys have different theories, I think, through the lineup, depending on where you are, what your size is, what you're capable of doing and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, man, I just, the floating strike zone and how it changes and manipulates, I don't know if we'll ever get to a point that there's some big, huge meeting that everybody in the world has that says, hey, look, we're going to talk about the strike zone and we're going to now make sure it's from knees to nipples and you can't go outside of that, you know, but everyone's vision's different. Everyone sets up different, are different sizes of people, are different situations. You know, like we said, some of the youth umpires are hearing shit and they're getting taken out of their game because they can hear it, you know, where like a pro guy, he hear you, but he ain't hearing you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, man. Hey, I hated those guys that didn't call that one at the belly button.
Yeah.
Because then you got the pitcher pounding, trying to get to the bottom of the zone. I can't do no real work down there, you know, only down and in on some off speed. But yeah. I don't throw fastballs down and away. Like, man, let him give him that up there because that's the one we can do some work with, you know?
Hey, yeah, yeah. You know? No, I agree. I agree. I mean, it's always tough being a pitcher and a hitter. There's things that I love and like as a pitcher, but I also hate, but I love as a hitter. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, as a pitcher, if I even make a mistake and leave a ball somewhere over the plate and you don't swing at it and it gets called a ball, like that changes my mentality. I mean, especially back when I was younger, I let my emotions get to me sometimes. And I'd be like, what the fuck? And the umpire hear that, you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes that don't build a good relationship with the umpire. So, you know, as a hitter, I used to love it when the pitcher would start getting pissed off on the mound or whatever and pounding his glove, like, where'd that miss, you know, or whatever. And then now all of a sudden he puts one right there on the corner, full count that you took, and umpire's like, ball.
Yes, indeed, man. That's back to umpires are human, man. You can't what they call show them up out there where you're visible, all eyes are on you because you got the ball and you out there being demonstrative about the umpire. That's not your job. That's the catcher's job, and it's subtle and no one can see it. And you see the umpire nodding his head sometime or saying something to the catcher because the catcher back there letting them know, man, hey, the pitcher don't have to say nothing. All the pitcher might do is if he throws one and you call it a ball, he might say, it was down. Okay. But it wasn't down. That was a strike. You missed. Yeah. I'm just letting you know. Was it down? Okay. That's it. You know, but that's the catcher's job to do all that back there with his face mask on where nobody could see. I'm not turning, looking at you.
Yeah.
Hey Jim, where'd you have that missing, Jim? I had it down. It's a pretty good pitch, Jim. Pretty good pitch. If you want us to come up any higher, you're asking us to get hit hard. We don't put them strings across the bullpen rubber.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I agree with you, man. That's the catcher's job. But then again, catcher's got to be coached up just like everybody else. Hey, when you think you are not getting a pitch that you think was a strike, this is how you say it. This is the tone of voice you say it in. Between innings, how you talk to the umpire, you know what I mean? Hey, Jim, you know, last inning, I went in there. I thought it was just me. My guy out there on the mound, you're missing a couple down there on the outside corner, Jim. We're getting the corner on that. Come on now. Lock in. It's between innings. I need that one. We got to have that one. That's not a bad pitch. It's a good pitch. You know?
So, now, what about the umpire, though? He don't even want to hear none of that, and he don't even respond to you. You ever have an umpire that you were like, hey, where'd that miss? And he, like, don't say shit?
No. I have heard that, and it always comes into, hey, I'm asking you man-to-man in a polite way so I can do my job.
Yeah.
Because if I don't do my job, my wife can't eat. Now, I'm going to ask you again, where'd you have that missing? Was it down or was it outside? If he don't say nothing, time out. Manager got to come out here and talk to him, man. We're trying to be professionals out here.
Yeah.
Now somebody gonna get, it's gonna be a big stink. They don't want big stinks. They don't want that. They don't want that smoke. They don't want the game stopping, everybody looking at him. They don't want that. So let's just communicate, man. Can we communicate or not? You know?
Yeah. And I think that's one of those things where that's where I know coaches and catchers try to get that set up early before the game starts, you know, trying to have that conversation, seeing especially if you don't know the umpire or it is the first time you have a guy. And you don't know what you're getting yourself into that day. And really, you don't even know what his strike zone maybe even going to be. You might have a nice – this has happened to me. Have a good conversation with an umpire before the game for whatever reason, you know, and everything seems cool. Like, cool, this guy's – you know, seems like this dude's cool. Great. Go in there, first pitch of the ball game, right down the dick, ball.
Yeah.
What the – wait, hold on now. What's going on? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing? Next pitch, ball. Whoa, you know what? Hold on a minute. And I think that's where I have, you know, when we're talking pro ball versus youth, it's like, what are we doing? What are we supposed to be teaching and trying to do at the youth levels versus professional baseball? At professional baseball, you want accuracy and consistency. That's really what you want. You know what I mean? You want to make sure that both teams are getting a complete, you know, a fair zone both ways. This guy ain't favoring nobody, nothing like that. he's just going to call the game the best way he knows how, and that's what's going to happen. You want that at the youth levels, but we all know there's going to be a lot more mistakes, and guys are more, taken off their game. They show up with different personality. They might have a regular job that they're working 10 hours a day, and they're showing up tired, or they had a couple shots of Hennessy in the parking lot before they got in there, or whatever it might be before they get to the game. And things are different. Things get different, you know, out there on the field, and they become inconsistent sometimes. And you try to say something to the umpire like, "Hey, I'm not feeling this," or we're hitting our spot. Where are we missing at? And the guy just want to be like, "It's a ball." Like, come on, man. Like, we have to be able to work together, because we're supposed to all be teaching when we're at the youth levels.
I got that was a ball, but I need to know how it was a ball so I can adjust.
Yeah. I need to teach my catcher something. I need to talk to my pitcher in between innings. You got to help me do my job so I can get off your ass, because that's ultimately what's going to happen. I mean, I'm not the guy that's just going to sit there and be quiet all game long watching you screw me over. You know what I mean? Because again, it's not necessarily that it's screwing me over. Yeah, it makes my job harder, because now I got to try and teach the kids why things are the way they are today. But it's those kids, especially the 9, 8, 9, 10-year-olds that are like, "I thought the strike zone, what you taught me, was from here to here and here to here. That ball bounced in the other batter's box, and he called it a strike." You know what I mean? Like, what do I do, coach? Like, it gets really tough for some of these kids to even know if they should swing and or not swing. And then they take the ball right down the dick for a strike three, because they're just now mentally out of the game, you know. And it's really easy. It's really easy to take an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old kid out of a game. I see coaches have done it. I see umpires do it. I see spectators do it. It's easy for someone to get a kid off their game. It's real simple to do. And it can be just as simple as what the strike zone is going to be and the inconsistencies of it. And then you get to high school kids. High school kids know what the strike zone should be. They understand a ball off the plate. They understand if you're calling the high one today. They understand if you're calling the low one today or whatever. They, at that point, they just want to know also that it's going to be consistent. Like, you're going to call that every single time. We may not like it, but at least we're going to know it's going to be that way. But then all of a sudden you don't call it a couple times. Then you do call it. And then some off-the-wall call that you haven't called all day long, all of a sudden is a strike in a key moment, a situation of the game. And now you're causing some chaos within the game that's now got both coaches, you know, going at it with you. And you got kids complaining, and you got the parents in an uproar, you know. And now the whole game is starting to get out of control, all simply because you just can't communicate well enough with the coaches that are out there that day and just let people know whatever's going on with you or whatever it is, or what your strike zone's just going to be. You know what I mean? For some reason, umpires feel like they can't talk to you sometimes. Like I'm doing my job, you go do yours. And I get that. That's the way it should be. We should just be able to do ours. But part of my job is to protect my players. Part of my job is to talk to you about what I'm seeing going on if you're missing stuff. Because if I'm getting screwed, or my players getting screwed, like you said, for you, you might not be able to feed your kids and wife, because you might get cut or dropped down to the minors or just released because you had a bad day. And it might have been from the umpire's zone on you today. You just didn't get the pitches that you wanted to hit today, but that zone was big and the umpire was ringing you up all day. And now you're out of a job and you can't do what you need to do. These kids, some of them are quitting the game because it just becomes too difficult, or they don't like what's going on, or it's just they lose interest in what's going on in the games, or they get super frustrated. Now they go into a slump because now they're mentally at 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. Like I said, the mental game has not fully developed for all of them. And to some extent, some are very weak-minded. And that's no disrespect. That is just realistically, they are still building their mental game up at those ages. Some kids have it, but a lot of kids can mentally be taken out of the game. And all it can take is one at bat, one bad call, one bad play, something to not go our way, and boom, a kid is out for the rest of the game, maybe for the rest of the week. Maybe if you're in the middle of TOCs or a playoff run or All-Stars, that kid might be done for the rest of the season or whatever, based on something that just happened in one game. And that's where I just don't like that we can't talk better between the coaches and umpires and get under a better understanding of what's happening. So we can work together to make sure these kids are getting as fair and good of an experience as we can give them at the youth levels. You know what I mean?
I agree with you 100%, man. Well, I think we drilled that one. We nailed that one home. The umpire.
Yeah, man. It was good to get part two. Yeah, I went to bed after the last one, and I was just kind of like, dang, man, there's so much more to talk about. And my last thing really, just real quick, is that, look, I'm looking for solutions. I'm looking for solutions. That's what I want. I want baseball to be better in all the different ways that it can be better. But we can't keep turning a blind eye to the fact that the umpire situation at the youth levels is in trouble. It really is. We are down a lot of umpires. There is a lot of older umpires getting older that the game is passing them by. And we don't have a lot of youth umpires just jumping in there wanting the job and wanting to do this job. And we coaches need to come together. Administrative people need to come together. And we got and umpire associations need to come together and figure out what are we going to do. Because you know what? We got baseball showcases and training camps and all these summer camps and everything going on every single weekend everywhere across the country. But we got nothing for umpires. We got nothing to help them get better. We got no way of promoting that we're looking for umpires and how much they can get paid and all these kind of things and why it can be a good job and how we can train them and make them better and all that kind of stuff. And it's we got to do it soon, because before we know it, the game is going to get even tougher for everybody, because if all you got is the worst, how good are those games going to be? And it's going to change the game. It changes, you know, like we said, one call can completely change everything about a game, about a kid, his mentality, and what he's going to do the rest of the way. So we got to work on it. We got to get together. I would love for people to come to me with solutions. I'd love to get with some umpires and really start putting something together. I honestly am thinking about trying to work on creating an umpire association where we do just that. We find kids that we're going to start this association out with, and we're going to get some veteran umpires to help train these kids and be a part of it and start trying to get these kids to be in tournaments and becoming a part of the umpire crew that's going to start moving toward, you know, forward in the future. And it's something I'm really thinking about and wanting to do. And I love to, you know, get coaches involved with me and other umpires and things like that. And let's turn this thing into a positive and not make it such a negative. And, let's build this thing up and make it a better experience for everybody. Because quite honestly, when we're all on the same page, it's a better experience for the parents. It's a better experience for the coaches, a better experience for the players, and the umpires have a better job or a better time doing their job, because we'll just have a better understanding of how everything needs to work.
Well said. Well said. All right, Jim. Until next week, you got anything else you want to give them?
Nah, man, I think there was something we were going to talk about soon. So I know we're going to rework the date and time and all that of when we're going to get together again next. I really kind of want to probably talk about this pandemic thing that's going on.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
You know, I want to talk about that with the kids and, you know, how we can help them, how they can get through, you know, all these emotional, mental things that they had to go through over this last year and a half, 2 years or whatever, and how it's affecting them and what we can maybe do to help them move forward and get back on track to what they were doing and help parents out in these situations. Because the parents, you know, they're frustrated and don't know what to do right now too with some of their kids. And I understand why, you know what I mean? I'm in that boat too. I got a couple kids going through it, but we could work on this together too. But let's talk pandemic next time we get together and how we can help our kids mentally, physically get ready, get back on track and not lose their motivation and everything that they have for the game and the passion to keep playing.
Sounds good. Sounds good. All right. Till next week. That's Beyond Mechanics. We'll see y'all next week, man. Peace.